Component number six is business innovation. Most companies we work with already have an innovative inside reality. Their primary challenge is in effectively communicating it to the outside world. However, perhaps 1 or 2% need our help to innovate their products or services so that they can market their unique identity to their target market. We help them discover what products or services the market really wants, but nobody else is giving it to them. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. The strategic marketing program utilizes innovation formulas that have proven successful over and over again that are designed in a way that makes them suitable for any type of business. Some people call this a unique selling proposition or a USP, but we believe it is really your identity. The idea here is that you need something legitimately unique about your business that makes people feel that they should buy from you rather than your competitor. Something that lets people know that you are not just a commodity, that you're not just like everybody else. However, we call this business innovation because the best way to come up with a USP or identity is to innovate your business, service, or product and give the marketplace exactly what they want. Plus, once you come up with something truly innovative, it's incredibly simple to write headlines for that position. Let me give you a few examples. Let's say you've innovated the car and you've created a car that runs on seawater instead of gas or electricity. Pretty innovative, right? So what would you say in your marketing? What would be your headline? I've got it. What about this? Super efficient and environmentally friendly. No, of course not. Do you see how utterly ridiculous those platitudes sound? Well, that basically is the equivalent of what most companies today are doing. They're building great businesses with great products and services, and then they're telling the marketplace that they're efficient and environmentally friendly. In other words, platitudes. No, writing headlines for innovative products and services is easy. You simply make the innovation a big, fat headline. For example, in the case of the car that runs on seawater, you run a headline that says, "This car runs on seawater!" Exclamation point. I'd probably add a subheadline that says, "Seriously!" And of course, there would be a picture of the car there. You see how that passes the three platitude evaluations? I mean, that's not something you would expect, so it passes the well-I-would-hope-so test. And certainly no one else can say it, and it definitely passes the write-in cross-out test. I mean, we're talking about a car that runs on seawater from the ocean, for crying out loud. It's more than just innovative. It could change the world. Now, I know that's an oversimplified example of using an extremely innovative concept, but let's break it down for your world. To come up with an innovation, you simply have to ask yourself one simple question. What does my marketplace want or need that nobody is offering them? It's that simple. But here's the catch. You must answer the question without regard to your ability to fulfill that need. Just ask the question and answer it. Don't tell yourself, "Well, I can't do that because it's too expensive," or "I don't have the manpower experience," or whatever. Just ask the question. Once you have the answer, figure out how to give it to your customers. You might not be able to give them 100% of what they want, but even if you give them 50%, it's better than anyone else and it makes you look innovative. Let me give you a few examples with orthodontists. Competition on the local level for orthodontists is pretty fierce. One of my clients is an orthodontist. We determined that one of the biggest problems with his industry is that people have to sign a contract and most people have no idea of all that's involved in the treatment process. So what's the answer to the problem? Well, most orthodontists say their contract is straightforward and clearly explains all the terms of the treatment. However, take a look in your area and you'll find all kinds of claims that our terms are this or that. But here's the problem. How is the typical customer to know all the possible scenarios that may occur and how to deal with them? Should you pay in full upfront? Or should you pay as you go? I mean, what if life throws you a curve and you have to relocate to another part of the country? How often does that happen? How about more often than you think? They all say their contracts allow for early termination if certain things occur, but they are often subject to extra fees. And guess what? Did you know that over 40% of orthodontists have legally binding agreements that have been specifically designed by their attorney? That means if you don't have your own attorney review the contract, you could be stuck paying the bill in full. How comfortable does that make you feel? So we innovated the practice and produced a code of ethics and competency guide for orthodontic practices. This is a one-page document that lists 20 requirements for orthodontists that includes the obvious things like no legalese agreements, simple termination clauses, personal and ethical requirements. So now we can simply advertise that our practice is the only one in the state that requires all of its orthodontists to be certified in the Code of Ethics and Competency Guide for Orthodontic Practices. Who else can say that? Nobody. Would it pass the, well, I would hope so tests? Yes. Would it pass the cross-out write-in tests? Yes. In contrast, we did the same thing with a plumbing contractor. Although the problems and fears in the plumbing industry seem significantly different, there's still the fear of being ripped off. In fact, the stigma for plumbers is even worse. Did you know that over 80% of plumbers out there today learn their trade in prison? In this case, the client wasn't willing to be as aggressive as the orthodontist, but we ended up creating something similar. It's called a Customer's Bill of Rights for the Plumbing Industry. Again, we created a one-page document that lists a whole bunch of guarantees and rights the customer receives when doing business with this plumber. We then pitch that super-duper Rooter is proud to abide by the customer's Bill of Rights for the plumbing industry, which protects our customers from any negative experiences that they might otherwise have from another plumbing company. Who else can say that? Nobody. Does it hit on a major hot button for the marketplace of getting ripped off by a plumber? Yes. Is there anyone else in the marketplace who can solve this problem and protect them from such a negative experience? No. And that's the key. It increases their confidence. See, that's what people really want. They just want the unshakable confidence that your company, product, or service is the very best in terms of value. They don't want to feel like they got ripped off or like they could have gotten a better deal elsewhere. This brings us to this incredibly important point. Remember what I'm about to say right now and don't forget it. Here it is. The amount of money somebody is willing to give you is directly proportional to their confidence in your ability to provide them with the goods and services they want or need. Period. Let me say that again for sake of emphasis. The amount of money somebody is willing to give you is directly proportional to their confidence in your ability to provide them with the goods or services they want or need. Now, you've heard before that the way to increase profits is to increase the value or perceived value you offer to your customers. But I'm here to tell you that this type of thinking is antiquated, outdated, and just flat out wrong. And by wrong, I mean that it's missing a critical element. The missing element is confidence. This is actually what people buy, not value. You see, value is a result or a consequence of confidence. In other words, the more confidence I have in your ability to provide me with the goods or services that I want or need, then the more value you have in my eyes, and the more money I'll be willing to give you. Too many people think that the way to increase prices and perceive value is to add additional products and services or to reduce prices. This is the wrong methodology. Invest your time, energy, and resources into increasing people's confidence in your products, services, and company, and your price points and profits will increase. The key is confidence. Let me give you some examples. Would you buy a Whopper at Burger King for $20? No. Why not? Because you know it's not worth $20. But what if Burger King added value to the Whopper by adding a large fry and Coke for free? Now would you buy a Whopper for $20? Of course not. But what if they now added even more value by giving you a free fun meal toy? Still, the answer is no. Why? Because you know that no matter what additional free stuff they add, it's still not worth $20. But would you buy a filet mignon steak from a major steakhouse like Shula's, Ruth Chris, or Morton's for $20? Of course you would. What a deal. But why the difference? The Whopper is made of 100% pure beef, right? And so is the filet mignon. So why are you willing to buy one but not the other? Because you're confident that one of them is worth more than $20 and the other is not. It's that simple. Winning in the game of business and sales is an issue of confidence. Perception and value are both consequences of confidence. So invest in building your market's confidence in your company, your products, and your services, and you'll be on your way to total market domination. So, obviously, in terms of innovation, there's a big difference between a car that runs on seawater and the Code of Ethics and Competency Guide for Orthodontic Practices or the Customer's Bill of Rights for the plumbing industry, but that's the point. I want you to see and realize that while they are very different in terms of value, they are exactly the same in terms of principle. The principle here is to provide something innovative to the marketplace that customers all want and need. Now, it is possible that you could already have something innovative in your business. If that's the case, then it's very important to present this innovation as something unique in the marketplace. You should name it and trademark it and make it exclusive to your company. Are you starting to see how this works? We're giving the marketplace the criteria by which they should judge all companies, products, and services. And then we make sure that they know that we are the only ones who can fulfill these criteria. It's powerful marketing.